Well, it's wonderful to be with you once again. My son Andrew is with me, and we journeyed through history today. He said, show me the church, Lisvain Church, the place where I first preached anywhere at the age of 17. So we drove up to the old chapel this morning. It's good to walk through memory. And happy Mothering Sunday to all those who are mothers and all those who are like mothers today. My mum has been gone these 17 years now, but I remember her with such love. She was the most consistent Christian lady that I've ever known. And I always mention her on Mothering Sunday. And I'm recalling her today with so much affection. Jesus, the light of the world, is the word that God has laid on my heart today. Do you know, the Gospel of John is very interesting in its structure. Don't know whether you realized before, but it's built around three sevens. There are seven miracles. You can go home if you like and check them out. Seven miracles. There are seven I ams. And there are seven interviews. It's interesting to see how the different gospels are structured in different ways. But John is unique. The other three, the synoptic gospels, follow a similar pattern. But John's gospel is quite unique. And this morning, we're looking at one of the seven I ams. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. And the healing of the blind man was a powerful demonstration of Jesus as the light of the world. In fact, that's another thing about the Gospel of John. When he claims something, he proves it by performing a miracle. So he says, I am the light of the world. He gives sight to the blind. I am the bread of life. He feeds 5,000. Another 4,000 people. What a man our Jesus is. As the light of the world, he opens our eyes in more ways than one. He gives us true enlightenment. We see God as he really is. We see ourselves as we really are. We see the world as it is. And we see the future as it is. All this took place during the Feast of the Tabernacles, during which every evening they had these great golden candelabras around the city that threw light into every part of Jerusalem. They recalled the pillar of fire which assured the children of Israel of God's presence during those wilderness years. Remember the practice that they followed. As they journeyed, a basket of fire was on a tall pole. What did that mean? It meant Jehovah was in the fire. God was with them, he was amongst them, and moving in front of them. When he moved, they moved. When the fire moved, he moved, and they moved. It spoke of God's presence wherever and whenever they are. Thank God that he's here today. And when you leave this place, wherever you go, he's going to be there. Before you get there, and when you get there. Isn't that good news? We don't know what the future holds, but we know he's going to be there, welcoming us into every day of our future. Thanks be to God. I am the light of the world, he said. Saying it at that time, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when the light was everywhere, was such an audacious claim. I am the real light. These are lights, but I am the light of the world. No other teacher or prophet ever claimed such things. And with ruthlessness, he pursues the Jewish people to face up to the challenge that without him, they are lost. Without him, we are lost. They're in the dark. Without him, where? In the dark. What does Jesus mean by making such an audacious claim? Let me suggest three simple truths this morning. First of all, as the light of the world, Jesus reveals God as he really is. What is God like? Look at Jesus. He is God. We're blind to what God is like until we see Jesus as God the Son. We can see beauty in what he's made. We can see growing things, creatures, and people loving and caring. We can see people from diverse cultures living peaceably together. And when we see such beauty, we respond in awe and wonder. When we see creation reflecting its maker, we praise God. However, when we see Jesus, we see the fullness of the revelation. Jesus said this, "He that hath seen me has seen the Father." What a claim. You know this picture, Holman's Hunt, The Light of the World. Who am I to criticize such a great artist? But I think he's got it wrong, you know. Because he's not holding the light. He is the light. The light illuminates from him. It flows from him. He doesn't need to carry a light because he is the light. Forgive me for criticizing such an artist, but I think it's true what I said. In the Lord Jesus, we see God present with us. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. But not only does Jesus reveal God as he really is, he reveals us as we really are. I know there used to be a dentist in the congregation. They've moved on now. Is there still a dentist in the congregation? No. Not your day. Must have known I was going to talk about him. We've all known what it is to sit in the dentist's chair, haven't we? And I'm sure you love the experience. And have that searching light there so that they can see the truth about our mouth. They can see that which is good and they can see that which is rotten. But thank God they can put it right. And as Jesus is the light of the world, he shines his light on us and he reveals a couple of things. He reveals, firstly, the value that God places on us. Do you know that God loves you? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's what God thinks of you and me. I never preach, you know, without taking people to the cross. Come to the cross. See how much he loved. We're going to the table later. It will remind us. We're going to journey to the cross. And why do we go there? To remember. To remember him who loved us so much that he laid down his very lifeblood to save us. Thanks be to God. Oh, it's a simple truth. But Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. And Jesus loves me, this I know, because of the cross. It screams, I love you. May we never forget it. Do you know the truth? He knows the worst about you and me. And he loves us just the same. Isn't that wonderful? He knows the worst about me. But he still loves me. If you knew the truth about me, you mightn't love me. But he knows the worst about me. And he loves me just the same. Hallelujah. But not only does Jesus, as the light of the world, shine a light on the true value that God places on us, but as the light of the world, he shows the true vileness that there is in us. So often we compare ourselves to other people and we're not so bad, are we? We can always think of someone that's worse than us, can't we? But compare yourself to Jesus. Oh, I fall way short. The letter was written to the church at Laodicea. This is what he said of them. You say that I'm rich, have acquired wealth, do not need a thing. But you do not realize, he said, that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. It's not until we realize our need that we open the door and come in. May God open our eyes to see the true value that God's placed on us, but also the vileness that there is in us. As human beings, we often have an inaccurate perception of ourselves. A good test is ask yourself the question, what do you think of yourself? The trouble is, half of us think too much of ourselves. And the other half think too little of themselves. I remember, you know, being in the United States for a month and preaching and taking seminars, and I was taking a seminar of, there were 30 ministers from every continent there, and it was a Discover Your Gift seminar, which I've done in several places in this country as well, and it helps people to discover their place in the body of Christ. And I was asked to take this seminar while I was out there, and there was a minister from Nigeria. What a godly, humble man he was. I mean, we lived together for a month, so you get to know people. And when he did discover your gift, when he was describing himself, he just saw nothing of any significance. He was so humble. I mean, you could mark yourself 1 out of 5 on various areas, you know, and he gave himself 1. I mean, 1 was poor, 5 was brilliant. He gave himself 1 on every section, you know. And there was a Salvation Army officer from Norfolk. Never forget. He gave himself 5 in every section. If I was in Norfolk preaching, I wouldn't have told that story. But it's only when we see ourselves in the light of Jesus that we get a true perspective of who and what we are, isn't it? As the light of the world, he shows the value that he places on us. He loves us. If no one's told you lately, let me tell you again, Jesus loves you. And he reveals the vileness in us, but he still loves us. To which I say, hallelujah. But not only is the light of the world, does Jesus show us what God is like, he shows us what we are like. He reveals the future as it is. That's the significance of the light of the world. It was the light that was going before them in the desert, showing them the way ahead. And Jesus is there with us now, going before us. I know you'd never believe it, but you know, I'm 80 this week. And you don't believe it, do you? No, but it's true, you know. My son will confirm it. But we don't know what the future holds. But he does. And he's there every step of the way in front of us. We have nothing to fear because we're going into the future with him. The light in the wilderness was to show the people of God the way ahead. What does the future hold for you and me? We do not know. But he's the one in the future. Welcome us into it with him. The only authentic source of information about the future is God. He alone possesses all knowledge and infinite power and has spoken to us in the Bible as the very word of God. And that places everything in its perspective. How strange then that people look for information about the future by going to very spurious sources. Don't do it. No matter how insecure you may feel, do not go to look for the future in these spurious sources. There's only one person who knows what the future. Journey with him step by step, and he will hold your hand and journey into that future with you. None of the man-devised sources is reliable. Even carefully researched works on futurology, written by competent scholars, contain many contradictions and a great deal of speculation. No one knows, for example, how much pollution a physical organism can tolerate and therefore how soon the world will end. No one can tell what new discoveries will be made. No one can foresee when some unexpected disaster will strike. Not even the devil himself can predict exactly what people will do under certain circumstances, or how God might intervene in the world affairs at any time, So to know how to face the future, we need to have an intimate relationship with Jesus, the light of the world. To follow his guidance as revealed in the scriptures, which call themselves the lamp. It is a lamp. Jesus is the light, but this is a lamp. And thank God for the lamp. I still read it every day. I need to read it every day. Hope you read it every day. In a fairly recent survey, it was suggested that only 2% of Christians read the Bible every day. 2%. Every day. I wonder how you would have fared in that survey. I'm not judging you. We each journey through life with Jesus, but I know I won't let a day go by without turning to the scriptures. I need lights. And it's a lamp. Introduces us to the light. And we journey with him. Jesus reveals the future as it really is. And when he says, whoever is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. That's what the blind man said when his eyes were opened. And he possessed such certainty. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. The man was under the pressure of interrogation by the Jewish bigots of the day who refused to admit that a miracle had taken place. But this man's eyes sparkled with confidence as he affirmed the words of certainty. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. It's hard to argue with a man who refuses to budge from the facts of the case, is it? He could not give an explanation of the character of Jesus who had opened his eyes. Neither could he enter into a theological and philosophical argument of those unbelieving Pharisees. But one thing he was absolutely certain of, he was blind for a life. Time, but now his eyes were opened by this miracle worker and he could see. He was certain about that. Hallelujah. Christianity spreads by people who've experienced the operation of God's grace, opening their eyes and warming their hearts and telling others what he's done for them. At the end of the day, no one can argue with a life that's been changed, can they? On this Mothering Sunday, I always remember my mother. I always talk about her. I mean, she's been gone 17 years now. But I thank God for her, for the most consistent Christian that I ever knew. She was converted, you know. My father, I'm told, before I was born, of course, long time, he was a gambler. He drank too much. And then he discovered that my late brother was going to Sunday school. He was amazed, but someone had invited him, so he went along to what used to be Long Cross Street Baptist Church in Cardiff by the infirmary there. And my father said, I must go and see what this is all about. He didn't want to sit amongst the people, so he sat up in the balcony of the church. And he was certain, to the day he died, that he heard God call him and say, Ben, follow me. And he did to the end of his 94 years. Thank God for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that saves the worst of us. There was a dear old saintly lady that suffered with Alzheimer's, and gradually she lost her memory. She had memorized much of scripture, but much of it had slipped away from her. Towards the end of her life, there was only one verse that she could say, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Gradually, even that went from her memory. And all she could say was, I've committed unto him. I've committed unto him. And then as the years went on, all she could say was him. And to a dying day, and these were her last words, it was him. 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 Thank God for him. Amen. Amen. I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That day might come to all of us. But don't forget him. When we have Jesus, we have the one that deals with our past, that deals with us in the present, and is leading us into his future for us. He possessed certainty. One thing I know. I was blind, but now I see. And not only certainty, he possessed clarity. Now I see. It's thrilling to read the story and see how the light of understanding grows brighter and brighter as the man has strength to receive it. To start with, if you were to look at the scriptures, in verse 11, he says, a man called Jesus. Then in verse 17, he says he was a prophet. And then when you get down to verse 33, he says he was a man of God. Can you see the gradual revelation? A man, a prophet, God. And finally, he reached the moving climax when he met the Savior face to face and said, Lord, I believe. And in verse 38, he said, we read, he worshipped him. My wife this past year had cataracts removed from both her eyes. What a revelation. She came out into our garden, a small but lovely space, which she's created. And she said, John. I said, what? She said, I thought that bush had purple flowers. And they're bright blue. She said, I've been blind to so much. I tell you, it was an investment worth making, having her eyes opened to see things as they really are. That's what Jesus does. He helps us to see God as he really is. He helps us to see us in all of the value he places and all the vileness. He still loves us. Hallelujah. He helps us to see the future as it's going to be. May God give you all grace and more grace to see Jesus as the light of the world, to take advantage of the operation that he's prepared to perform in all of us on those inner eyes, that we might see God, ourselves, and the world, our future, as it really is in him. You know the most important characteristic of the Christian life? It's obedience. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So as he speaks to you as the light of the world, he knows what he's talking about. What he says, do it. Let me pray. Father, we want to thank you that you are the light of the world, that's opened our eyes to see the truth about yourself and ourselves and the world and our future. Give us more grace, we pray, that we might keep close to you step by step, walking with you, not wanting to rush ahead, nor wanting to lag behind, but to walk step by step with you. Give us more grace is our prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, John. Do you feel enlightened?